From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns welcoming you once again to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining us. I'm glad you're with us, and I trust that you'll be glad as you hear the Word of God as we return to Psalm 68 and verse 18 and its glorious subject, Christ leading captivity captive and giving gifts unto men. So do plan to stay with us. However, before we turn to the Word of God for today, we'll have some music, but first we'll start off with our daily devotional Bible study, which today comes from Psalm 116, verse 15. The subject is one that's dear to me. As someone who in his very early days was raised in the Salvation Army, and actually I was saved in the Salvation Army as a boy, and the words are promotion to glory, which is how the old Salvationists referred to death. Promotion to glory. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I can imagine someone saying, We have to live. Don't talk about death. Death's a far-off event we don't need to think about just now. Yes, it's true we have to live, but it's also true we have to die. Death for the Christian is not a morbid subject to be forgotten, but rather one that should be faced with confidence and assurance, knowing that our death is precious in the sight of the Lord. C.H. Spurgeon wrote, The Lord watches over their dying beds, smooths their pillows, sustains their hearts, receives their souls. Those who are redeemed with precious blood are so dear to God that even their deaths are precious to Him. He views the triumphant deaths of His gracious ones with sacred delight. If we have walked before Him in the land of the living, we need not fear to die before Him when the hour of our departure is at hand. Now, of course, this cannot be said of any except those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you don't have Christ as your Savior and friend, you're without hope. If you're not saved, I would call upon you to trust in Christ today so that you will be able to say with the Apostle Paul, To me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, because death for the Christian is promotion to glory. And our thought for the day comes from John Knox, the great Scottish reformer. Live in Christ, and the flesh need not fear death.
Thank you.
For the last couple of weeks, we have been making a very special free offer to our VCY listeners. We're offering to all who write to us to request it, Dr. Mike Barrett's excellent book on Daniel. Dr. Barrett is an eminent Old Testament scholar, and in this hardback book, he leads us to see what many books on Daniel miss, namely the comfort of knowing that our sovereign God is in complete control of all that's happening in the world today. Thus, the book of Daniel is a powerful answer to those who look at perplexing things that are going on in the world today and ask, where is God in all this? Dr. Barrett's study of Daniel will show you the answer and will thereby greatly bless your soul. So why not write today for your free copy of Dr. Mike Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you.
Mighty God, while angels bless thee, may all mortals sing thy name. Lord of men as well as angels, thou art every creature's theme. Lord of every land and nation, ancient of eternal days, sounded through the wide creation, be thy just and endless praise. For thy rich, thy free redemption, shall thy praise unuttered lie. Break my tongue, such guilty silence, sing the Lord who came to die. From the highest throne of glory to the cross of deepest woe, all to ransom guilty captives, flow my praise forever flow.
And now it's time to return to our study of Psalm 68, verse 18. Thou hast ascended up on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Yesterday we were looking at the testimony of the text to Christ's victory. Today we continue with that theme and show that our Lord Jesus Christ, having delivered us both from the curse of the law and from the bondage of those malignant powers of darkness that held us captive, entered into his glory. So let's turn now to the Word of God and consider these two wonderful truths, the victory and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Cast your mind back to the history of the children of Israel. When Israel was terrorized by Goliath, she needed a champion. And God gave her one. Terrorized by Satan and sin and the curse and death and hell, we need a champion. And God has given us a greater than David. No champion could be found among the sons of men. No champion could be found among the angels of glory. But thank God, the Lord laid his hand upon one that was mighty.
He laid his hand upon his own dear Son, and the Son of God himself alone could, and thank God did, engage in such a task. Willingly did he come. He battled Satan at his birth. Satan tried to slay him. In his temptation, Satan tried to slay him. When he first appeared at Nazareth, Luke chapter 4, Satan sought to have him slain. Throughout his life, they sought to murder him again and again. In Gethsemane, Satan sought to slay him. And it all failed because on Calvary, he brought it all together. And the Lord Jesus Christ battled Satan and beat him absolutely. Not only that, he battled sin. He invaded the kingdom of darkness. He submitted himself to all the rigors of the law. He gave himself up to die and to lie under the power of death for 3 days. He engaged these malignant powers that were against us. He removed the curse of the law. And then he destroyed those malignant and dark powers that held us captive. I love the way Paul puts it in Colossians 2. He said that the Lord Jesus Christ blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's the law. The handwriting of ordinances is the moral law of God. I don't want to trivialize this, because it goes much deeper than any commercial illustration would suggest. But if you see the law of God written against you, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, and then sum it up in the 2 great commandments of the law, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and on every single charge we stand guilty. Every single one. Now take that bill. It's a bill of indictment. But you could also say it's a bill of indebtedness. The Lord Jesus Christ took it all. And in his life, having fulfilled every precept, so in his death, he paid the penalty. And in the red ink of his own blood, he took the word and he wrote it across. That law written against us, paid in full. And then he nailed it to the cross for heaven, earth, and hell to witness. He spoiled that curse that was against us. He took it and he paid the penalty and he paid the price. He removed the curse of the law. He redeemed us from the curse. Galatians 3:13 tells us, by being made a curse for us. But then he did something else. Having spoiled principalities and powers. Now we're talking about those dark, malignant forces that I've already alluded to, that held us captive in their awful grip. Here Christ is answering the question of the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Shall we be delivered from this awful captor? Well, Christ answers, he spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And though the words are slightly different, the sentiment is exactly the same. He led captivity captive. The picture that every ancient reader would have understood, the picture behind leading captivity captive or making a show of them openly, would be the same one. In ancient times, it was the usual course of events that when a great general went forth to battle and conquered his enemies, he laid them in irons, he led them into the city, and as he led them, he made a show of them, he showed his triumph over them. He was leading those who had been captors, and he was making them captives. And he showed it for all to see. It is the symbol of complete and utter victory. Thank God this morning, God's people are no longer held by dark powers. And I want to tell you, when God delivers his people from the power of Satan, he does it for good. Don't you believe all this charismatic rubbish that's going around that has Christians like a bunch of lunatics going around their home every time a glass vase falls? Oh, the devils in this house will have to have them exorcised. Or if you trip over a bit of wood and graze your knee, that the devil's doing that there. And you are, I mean, I have had people, I actually went to Germany to deal with one of these lunatics who was splitting the church there and causing unstable new believers great trouble in their lives. But he could look into your eyes and tell you if you had a headache or a backache or whatever. He could tell you how many demons were inhabiting your body. You would be amazed at how widespread such utter, absolute, hellish rubbish is. People will not take time to learn the gospel. They'll not take time to sit down and meditate on the glories of the Lamb. But they'll sit like some sort of ex-certificate Christian entertainment. Of course, that's all until they really run into the devil. Let me tell you, it's a very different story. Devil's not an entertainment. But let me tell you, Christ defeated him. The dark powers that held his people captive, he conquered. There's his identity. There's his victory. A word just about his glory. He ascended up on high. You remember what we read in Luke 24, verse 51, that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now, that was a physical phenomenon. In this day of space age and space travel, people shrug their shoulders, how on earth can that be? What does that mean? Is that not just some ancient, ignorant statement? No, it's not. Let me tell you, I know no more about how he did it than you do. And if I did, I couldn't tell you because you wouldn't understand it. But he did it. There's no greater miracle than him rising from the dead in the body in which he was crucified. And in the body in which he rose, he ascended into heaven. There's a physical phenomenon here. But there's much more than a physical phenomenon. This is the statement of the greatest spiritual importance. Christ ascended to heaven's throne. Isn't that what the words of the psalmist originally were all about? They were talking about God going up to his throne. God being exalted up on high. Christ, as we read in Hebrews 12:2, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. But here's the thing, and I will not take time to expound this, for I have mentioned it many, many times in this pulpit. He took that place by virtue of his victory. Christ ascended in a human body. I want you to understand the significance of that. For the first time, there is a man on the throne of God. And he earned the right to be there. That's the significance. There is a man in the glory. The God-man. Christ manifested is God manifested in the flesh. In that flesh he was born, he lived, he died, he rose, he ascended, and he sat down. He earned the place in glory. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 10 verse 12, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. he sat down. You see, he took that place. Not because it is his by right as the Son of God. Unincarnate deity ruled from all eternity. Christ as God has every right to the throne because he's God. But can I say this? Without incarnate deity, there could be no gospel for guilty sinners. There could be no redemption of guilty sinners. There could be no elevation of guilty sinners to fellowship at God's right hand. By man came death. By man must come the resurrection of the dead. By man came our expulsion from heaven. By man must come our entrance to heaven. He earned that place by virtue of his victory. And the beauty of this is that he reigns in grace. He reigns in grace. And he holds every malignant power under his control. And as he does so, he dispenses to his people everything that he received in the covenant of grace from his Father to give them. He reigns in grace, holding our former captors captive under his control. There are people who confuse this with Revelation 20 and the chaining of Satan. Anybody who believes that Satan is bound and out of the picture nowadays, again, has to be living in cloud cuckoo land. That is some strange place to live, by the way. If this is Satan out of the world, I wouldn't like to see it with a minute. There is a day coming, according to Revelation 20, when Satan will be absent and inactive. But at the moment he's present and active, but totally under the control of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that ultimately means that I cannot work this out for you. I cannot begin to understand it. That ultimately means that all he does, despite his intention, our Savior works for the ultimate glory of his own name and the ultimate fulfillment of his own redemptive purpose. In Luke 10:19, I remember a time in my life when this verse became very precious, when faced with a very deep and terrible, real and hellish form of demonism. I had to learn this verse, pray it through and prove it. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why? Because our Christ is in control. In Romans 16:20, the promise is that the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Christ has him in control, and he'll bruise him under your feet shortly. So don't give up. You're in temptation, you're in trouble, you're in affliction, you're in pain, you're in suffering. You seem to be in decline, your life seems to be in a tailspin. The power of the enemy out there seems to be unfettered. It appears, as I said at the beginning, that the ungodly are strutting their defiance of God and their derision of all things godly. Judge nothing before the time. And just remember that the God of peace will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Christ's victory.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.